Welcome to the July 18th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Today's service is led by Worship Associates Stephen Henninger and Alyssa Short. The theme of the service is Exploring Sacred Languages.
Good morning, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley. I am Alyssa Short. Stephen Henninger and I will be your worship associates this morning while Rev Pam is out on her summer vacation. For a quick reminder of the features of Zoom, the microphone icon will allow you to mute and unmute yourself. The camera icon will let you turn on and off the video of yourself. You can change your view from gallery mode, which is when you can see everyone on your screen, to speaker mode, which means you just see the speaker, by clicking the little screen icons in the top right corner of your screen. If you'd like to view closed captioning, click on the CC icon at the bottom of your screen. Now, please use the chat function to greet each other and share from where you are worshiping this morning. You will find in the chat a link to our order of service so you can follow along with our worship today. If you are with us for the first time, welcome. We are so glad you found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitors card in the chat. Fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. And we invite you to stay after the service for a virtual coffee. We'll go to breakout rooms for a chance to meet in smaller groups for conversation. There are many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout this week. You can also look at our calendar on our website for times, locations, Zoom links, and contact information if needed. Thank you to all the volunteers who make these activities possible. And finally, if you have a joy or sorrow you'd like read aloud this morning, you'll find a link in the chat to fill out as well. And now for our opening words. This morning's service is inspired by the UUA course, Sacred Language and Sacred Translation, which Stephen and I participated in this summer along with other congregants. Please join me in offering our sacred attention to Clyde Marshall Teets, who was also a participant in this experience, as he shares sacred language from the course, which will also serve as our opening words. Thank you, Clyde.
Good morning. The Possibilities in This Diverse Space by Alexis Engelbrecht. In this space with atheists and theists, with pagans and agnostics, with humanists and theists and those who reject labels, what new understandings can emerge if we listen to one another? In this space, full of varied experiences, concerns, and hopes, what new revelations may come if our hearts and minds are open? In this space, where we covenant to seek in the truth and love and help one another, what new ways of life may emerge and come into being? Welcome to this diverse community and the possibilities within it, just waiting to be born.
Thank you, Clyde. So as Alyssa said, the idea of this service came after Alyssa and I took the class that Rev Pam taught that's from the UUA. The class, Sacred Language and Sacred Translation, was developed by the Reverends A.J. Van Tine and Lisa Garcia Sampson. Alyssa and I both found that class to be incredibly powerful, and we hope that this service today will help you on your own spiritual journey. One of the practices of the class was to discuss our sacred words and our comfortability with some other sacred words. Today, we're inviting everyone in attendance to complete a brief two-question survey by going to the link in the chat, and that will be displayed on the screen. You'll first see a series of words and a sliding scale of how comfortable you are with those words. After you submit that page, you'll be invited to respond with what is important to you on your own spiritual journey. All the answers are anonymous, and we will show the results later in the service. Finally, there's no rush in responding. Feel free to continue responding to the poll throughout our opening hymn.
And now it's time for our chalice lighting. Please join Noemi and me as we light the chalice and let these sacred words fire up your heart.
We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service.
Reverend Jamie McReynolds will now share our congregational covenant. Let us hold space for Jamie and the sacred words that guide us as a congregation within the walls that hold our physical and virtual spaces, as well as while we move through the world as individuals. Thank you, Jamie.
We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
So let us celebrate our ability to contribute to our wider community by collecting an offering. It is the practice of our congregation to share half of our offering plate with a local charity or a UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient at our virtual service is Unitarian Universalist Trauma Response Team, which was formed in 2002 to provide timely, multi-level, culturally sensitive spiritual care to survivors of mass disasters and other critical incidents that may lead to significant trauma. For over a decade, they have provided support to UU communities and congregations for a myriad of critical incidents. You may give online using the link in the chat or through our Give Plus app or text FUND to 844-909-2617. You may also send a check. And if you have never used these, you may look to your order of service and the announcements for more information. You may also give after the service as well. And now join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Sacred language comes in many forms. We might first think of sacred texts that have been uplifted by scholars and religious figures, but there is so much more to explore. My mind moves to all the other sacred languages that we encounter throughout our lives. Is a texted heart emoji from a friend a sacred language? Is a meaningfully raised eyebrow a sacred language? Dance, laughter, a sigh? I believe so, yes. And I am someone who loves the written word. The piles of books all over our home will tell you so. When I write, I feel the words, like sorting through gems in a velvet pouch or tasting spices as I add them to a soup. The meandering, savoring, feel my way along language of my writing is also proof that yes, I am a person who loves words and I believe in their power. The poet I married might remind you as well. I love words and I have had relationships with many of them throughout my life. The sacred words of my youth were ones of fear and scarcity. My young adulthood was a brittle word desert, but this dusty path led me to discover a lush oasis of the language of the divine feminine, which nourished and healed me. Then as I parted the canopy of this garden, The words looked different within the context of the physical world. I had a crisis of translation. I began to dismantle gendered and racist spiritual language. This was and continues to be stumbly and disorienting work, but worth it because words are powerful. I love words. I also love other forms of language. The sacred languages I currently most often speak are the iconography of tarot and astrological glyphs, both of which give my life so much meaning. And as a sensitive person, I am also fluent in body language. One of my passions in life is group facilitation. When I serve in this role, I listen closely to the words being said, but I also tune in to the other languages being shared in that space. The shrugs, the stiffened spine, the color rising up a neck, the pauses. These nonverbal subtleties are sacred, and witnessing them is crucial to deep connection and shared understanding. In a moment, we as a congregation will light candles for our own sacred words and sacred languages. But before we do, I want to share a list poem that I created for today's service. I hope it will help you reflect on the sacred words and languages that bring your life meaning. My poem begins with words from the personal timeline I created during our class, and it ends with examples of wordless language. Unconditional, nourish, care, reclaim, rebirth, Pluto and Saturn, Three of Swords, I'm here. A gesture, a glance, a blush that shows us feeling unexpressed, the silver pomegranate that comforted me in the underworld, a hug that said all the words in the universe and more. Sacred words, sacred languages. Now we invite you to light a candle for your own sacred words and sacred languages. There are no right or wrong answers. If the word or language is sacred to you, then it is sacred. Please share in the chat and try to keep your responses brief. For example, a hug that healed, or the language of trees, or simply one sacred word like love. What comes up for you, please share with us. Stephen will light candles for your sacred words and languages as you share them. Isabel Burney shares the word forgiveness. Clyde Marshall shares the word liberation. Victoria and Bernard share the word family. Nancy Bodenhorn shares the sacred word laughter. Ann Arnold wants to light a candle for the sacred word compassion. Kimberly Homer shares the sacred word sweetgrass. Seth Leonard would like to light a candle for the sacred word hope. Laura Tallon shares the sacred word excitement. E. McClellan, and I'm very sorry, I should probably know this person's first name, shares the word nature. Casey Arsenault shares the sacred word service. Joanne Knowles shares joy. And Becca White would like to light a candle for the word presence. Avi shares the word sharing. Catherine would like a candle for respect. Barbara Smith would like to light a candle for togetherness. And Sharon and Jean would like to light a candle for the phrase giving of self. And Stephen, please light one more candle for all the sacred words felt but left unspoken. They are here with us as well. Thank you for everyone who shared in the chat. Oh, and one more. Dick Bauman shares the word life. Thank you to everyone who shared and lit candles for your sacred words. And now it's time for our reading. With this morning's reading, we would like to acknowledge Reverend Lisa Garcia Sampson and Reverend A.J. Van Tine, who created the Sacred Language and Sacred Translation course. We all have courageously shared and witnessed the many sacred words of our congregation. Now, as we bask in the glow of the candles we have lit for them, I will read today's reading. This flame we light is not a thing, but an action. Fire is a chemical reaction, a translation in which fuel is converted into light and heat. When we do the work of translation in beloved community, we allow for our words to be converted briefly so that we might engage in deep act of humanity, of humility, deep act of humility. This is a sacred act. This is a sacred act which affirms that the other is another self. That the beliefs we hold dear are not the only way, and that we ourselves are called to be transformed by an encounter with the spiritual journey of another, which deepens the bonds of mutuality between us. And with the divine web that holds us all, we light this flame, or in our case, these flames, opening ourselves to the possibilities of sacred translation.
Thank you, Alyssa. Summer is often a time for road trips. My fondest memory of a road trip didn't happen in the summer, but I think it will help us today. So the road trip was my senior year at Michigan State. Seven of us piled into two cars, and we drove from East Lansing in Michigan one blustery fall day to Iowa City to watch the Spartans, our football team, play the Hawkeyes of the University of Iowa. That road trip, and other than the memorable football game, stands out to me because of the good company I had on that trip. We all had our roles. Robbie brought the walkie-talkies so we could communicate between the cars. Luke made sure our hotel reservation was all set, and I was in charge of the snacks, an important role for a road trip. For any journey, especially a spiritual journey, you need good company to get where you're going. My spiritual journey around sacred language began as a youth. I was raised in a Lutheran household, and our pastor would start the prayer at every service with a simple command, "Now, let us pray." The congregation would abide the instructions and gently bow their heads, fold their hands, and close their eyes. The pastor went on, "Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive us for our sins and help us see your grace." Even as a child, I squirmed in my seat at this ritual. Who was I praying to, and why did I need to pray? I remember asking something to this effect a few years later in my confirmation classes, which I never finished. Our minister responded that we pray to the Heavenly Father, who was a white man, a bearded man, who sat in the clouds, and we prayed for forgiveness for our sins. What I didn't ask my minister was another question. Why do I need to be forgiven? Sure, my sister and I routinely argued and fought, and I know I was nowhere near a perfect child, but what exactly did I need to be forgiven for? And why did I need to tell an old bearded white man to grant me forgiveness? The ideas of prayer, sin, and forgiveness never really sat well with me. I rejected those sacred words because I didn't have good company on my spiritual journey. The concepts of prayer and sin in particular or a large part of why I eventually grew to distrust Christianity. As I rejected those words, prayer and sin, I entered that angry atheist phase in my college years. Prayer, a comforting idea for many, offered no solace or peace for me. For me, this was a way to exert control and instill fear of an angry God. The idea of sin was a further example of this control. Certainly not everyone was perfect, but the idea that one needed to ask for forgiveness regularly was just a way to keep people in the pews and tithing. As I gained good company on my spiritual journey, I was even more certain that prayer and sin could never be sacred words. They had too much baggage. As I spoke with friends about our spirituality, though looking back, we probably would not have used those words, I saw that the idea of prayer and sin carried even harder baggage for them than for me. How could these words ever offer me comfort when they were often used to cause harm to some of my closest friends? Like any good journey, though, ideas tend to resurface in a new light. I eventually left the angry atheist stage and settled into a passive agnosticism. I wasn't sure that there was a God, but I certainly wasn't sure that there wasn't a God either. I also began picking up words from my own spirituality. Words like grace, discernment, and meditation took on new meanings and helped me better express my spirituality. These ideas helped me experience my spirituality with depth and expanded my horizons to other forms of spirituality. And the good company I had with me helped me quite a bit too. When I started attending our congregation, I was struck by how active Unitarian Universalism was in discussing one's spirituality. It was almost as if you had to have a spiritual language. Through these discussions with many of you, my spiritual language continued to evolve. I reclaimed words like holy, spirit, sacred, and they all made my articulation of my spirituality better than before. They empowered me to experience the holy in more profound and personal ways. I could see the holy in the peaceful scenery of Lake Huron in Michigan, or in the beauty of a shared meal with loved ones. Claiming a sacred language deepened and enhanced my understanding, and I'm thankful to all the good company I had in that reclamation process. I'm going to take a pause now to show you our reactions to our sacred words in our poll. So we asked what your comfortability was with these sacred words, and you can see that the numbers are the averages, but we're pretty comfortable as a congregation with words like soul and prayer and holy, but we're a little uncomfortable with words like sin, salvation, and surrender. Looking back, I think that was pretty similar to how our class felt. So now we're going to ask that you turn to your neighbors in the breakout rooms that we create and discuss what surprised you about those results. And most importantly, what is one sacred word that you are uncomfortable with and one sacred word that is crucial to you? We'll break into groups of around four people and you'll have around 10 minutes to discuss your words. And I'll be posting our discussion question in the chat.
Because there were several simultaneous breakout rooms, we are not including any in the podcast or in the video.
I'll let everyone kind of settle back in. Well, welcome back, everyone. We thank you for engaging in those conversations. I know as an introvert, breakout rooms always make me a little anxious, but hopefully we were able to kind of give you some good, clear instructions to make it a little manageable for our introverts. So Alyssa and I hope that those conversations can be a good step in good spiritual journey, and maybe you picked up some good company for yours. So by the time I took the sacred language class earlier this summer, the ideas of prayer and sin looked quite a bit different from when I was a snarky teenager in my confirmation classes. I was now indifferent to them, not outright hostile. Rev Pam would ask us to define various sacred words, and prayer and sin were two of them in class, and we had, I think, 2 minutes to come up with our definition. And I would still squirm in my seat when we were asked to do some of those words, just like the child I was all those years ago. Yet through the conversations I had with my classmates, I began to see how prayer and sin could resonate with me and not feel like a forced addition into my sacred language. These holy conversations also enhanced my my spirituality, even though that those words still don't seem to fit. That road trip I took my senior year of college is one of the clearest memories I have of my 4 years in undergrad. It's also where I made some of the deepest friendships I have today. And that's the thing about journeys. The things you do and the people you meet are more important than the destination. As you continue on your own spiritual journey, I urge you to lean into those words that make you squirm and that make you uncomfortable. Continue the conversations we started today and talk with people who use those words that you trust and see how those words may fit into your own language. You may never add those words. I probably will never add sin to mine, but I guarantee the journey of figuring that out will help you illuminate something else about your spirituality that you didn't know you needed. Blessed be and amen.
In closing, we'd like to share words that served as a closing for one of our sacred languages and sacred translation classes. Parker J. Palmer writes, "Before you tell your life what you intend to do with it, listen for what it intends to do with you. Before you tell your life what truths and values you have decided to live up to, let your life tell you what truths you embody, what values you represent." Palmer's beautiful words celebrate our unspoken languages. Some sacred language is too powerful for words, but if we are listening, we will hear it. Maybe not always with our ears, but with our hearts, our bodies, and our deepest inner knowing. Thank you for joining us on our journey through language this morning. Thank you for interacting, sharing, or holding space for quiet reflection. Your presence, to borrow Becca's sacred word, means so much.